in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Text is Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm going to speak about my father in a few minutes as part of the message. But I remember one of the things that he described to me was the beaches of Dunkirk, where the complete forces were able to be evacuated from France without being any tragedy. It wasn't until a few years ago, but he always talked about an act of God. It wasn't until a few years ago that I actually read that before Dunkirk took place, Winston Churchill called a prayer meeting for all of England. He called the country to prayer. And Hitler changed his mind and turned all his efforts to the Western Front, the Eastern Front, I should say, so that when they were removing all of those peoples at Dunkirk, they weren't wiped out by the German forces. That's an act of God. That's the protection of his people and freedom. And that's what this is describing we need to have trust in. Perhaps you will have heard of Lieutenant General Sir William Dobie. He was called Dobie of Malta, who was Governor General of Malta during the Second World War, at a time when the defense of Malta was at its darkest hour. The Italian forces had overwhelming superiority, both in numbers and in firepower. Yet Malta never fell to the enemy. And for their courageous stand, the whole island was awarded the George Cross. Historians still cannot understand why the Italians did not take the island, given its strategic position. But Dobie, who was a committed Christian, realized the weakness of his position and that God alone was his present help in trouble. His first special order of the day, defining policy governing the defense of the island, read this, and it's out of a very present help in his book. The decision of His Majesty's government to fight until our enemies are defeated will have been heard with the greatest satisfaction by all ranks of the garrison of Malta. It may be that hard times lie ahead of us, but however hard they may be, I know that the courage and determination of all ranks will not falter, and that with God's help we will maintain the security of this fortress. I therefore call upon all officers and other ranks humbly to seek God's help, and then in reliance upon Him to do their duty unflinchingly. Those were the words of a Christian general engaged in the height of the Second World War. His Christian faith was a reality when under fire. He looked to God for strength in the tasks that he had to do. And although Dobie survived Malta, the war took its toll, and he was invalided back to home in 1944. Sadly, we take the sacrifice of the many men and women who served in the forces during the wars for granted. We too easily forget the price of peace that we enjoy. I think that Remembrance Day is one of the most important community services in the year, a time when we stop to remember them. And while our service this morning is not on Remembrance Day, it is fitting that we do think about these things today. We lived for a number of years in Elliott Lake, and I can remember going down to the memorial in snow this deep to stand there in the midst of that day. And their community would come at large to do that. I am not old enough to remember the Second World War, for I was born several years after it ended. But my father and my uncle Norm were involved in the war. Now, Dad never talked much about the war, although from time to time we would hear a little of what happened while he was away for those 6 years. I remember his great respect for the Gurkha troops who were so loyal to the British. When he was in Burma, Dad was there for at least 4 years in Burma, those Gurkhas lay on top of the British and Canadian soldiers and took the bullets from the Japanese strafer planes as they were evacuating radar stations. And I can remember when I was a boy once when the town fire alarm went off. It wasn't quite as loud as the one here in Seaforth, but it was loud enough back in those days before pagers and cell phones for all the volunteer firemen to come from the community. I remember when that town fire alarm went off, calling the volunteer fireman at the station in the middle of the night, that he was standing at attention beside my parents' bed until he realized what the siren was really for. It reminded him of those early days when he was in training in London. So I know that war, even if it was not in the height of combat, has a great cost that is not easily overcome. I deliver vehicles for a company called Grace Motors and one to the States. And one of the chase drivers who drives the van, he doesn't now, served in the forces for quite a number of years. And he retired out of there and he functioned as a chase driver until he had a car accident about a year and a half ago. And he's suffering now from PTSD from that accident. But the PTSD trauma he has is also related to the history of the service and the forces over those times. And he's not back to driving and probably won't ever drive again. But don't forget what the cost is beside life and death. General Sherman, the American Civil War general, once said, "War is hell." How true it is. My father and my uncle were the lucky ones. They survived. Many of their friends and your friends did not make it through the war years. So let me just talk about three little things. First of all, of the sacrifice. Today and for the next week, we will recall the millions of servicemen who gave their lives in both world wars so that we might enjoy peace today. We also need to remember that there have been other conflicts since then. The Korean War, the Falkland War, the two Gulf Wars, and the strife in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places in the Middle East, in some places in Africa where we have peacekeepers. And the peacekeeping missions, some of which our troops are still involved. The ability to remember is a wonderful gift that God has given to mankind. And some of our memories are happy, and we can recall wonderful experiences. But some of our memories are sad, and we may weep as we remember them. So even though the Second World War ended 73 years ago, and the First World War 101 years ago, it's important that we remember that many still bear the scars of war today. And it's good for us to remember that those who have fought for their country, to support them and pray for them. The sacrifice and thanks. Today is a day when we say thank you to all those who made the sacrifice that we could stand here today in peace and freedom. At many ceremonies, someone will read out the names of those who died. In some of the churches I've pastored, we would have a memorial at the front with the names of those soldiers, and we would always read it. This church wasn't founded till after those wars were over, so we don't have a list like that to read. But there will be people who were relatives and friends of people who are part of this church today who will know of men, young men, who died in those situations. When those lists of names are read, it will be done slowly and methodically. But we must also not forget those who are still suffering as a result of those wars. And may I add my commendation to that of my wife, to the work of the Royal Canadian Legion, who still work to alleviate suffering among ex-servicemen. But let me third of all talk about the love of Christ. As we gather today, these thoughts of sacrifice should bring us back to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for us all on the battlefield of Calvary. St. John put it well when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends." Jesus gave his life not only for his friends, but also for his enemies. As God, he had no need to experience human suffering, but he did it all for our sakes. Man's evil, what the Bible calls sin, has separated us from God. Jesus died to reconcile us to God by dying in our place, the perfect one for the imperfect creatures. God reconciled man to God through dying on the cross. This reconciliation is a gift that we can receive simply first by acknowledging our estranged condition with God due to our sin. And then by inviting Christ to come into our lives to forgive us and to rescue us and to transform us. As the Apostle John put it, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." The former Bishop of Birmingham, Bishop J.L. Wilson, who was a Japanese prisoner of war in the Second World War, recommended three thoughts for us all to carry in our hearts on Remembrance Day. And these are these three: that we should be thankful for the sacrifice of others, that we should be dedicated to work for peace and justice in the world, and that we should be sorry for human sin and evil. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, this morning we come to you, and we have joined with these friends from our community to remember troubling times in the history of our world. Times when despots and rulers who had evil intention sought to wipe out what ultimately survived as Western democracy and freedom. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who lived on this planet were caught in those battles, and many from the side that gave their lives were able to preserve that freedom. Father, we do not rejoice in the fact that war has been part of the history of our world, nor a necessary part of our country's involvement. But we are grateful to you that you helped to preserve freedom against evil, so that the lives that we live in freedom, that we try to bring to other parts of the world, can exist today. So we pray that you will help people to continue to remember that nothing comes cheaply, that what we enjoy today in terms of affluence and freedom and opportunity was preserved at great cost. And that kind of memory will continue to be part of what we celebrate, not joyfully, but solemnly as a country. But Father, we also thank you that there was a bigger battle that was once fought for the souls of lost people, that you went to battle against the evil one who would want to keep human beings in bondage to their sin and slavery to their passions, and that you sent your Son from heaven to take human form and to be our advocate, to be our priest, and to be the one who was our sacrifice, who took our sin upon himself, who knew no sin, so that his righteousness could become ours. And Father, we pray as well this day that this gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, which frees us not only for living in this life, but prepares us for that which happens in the rest of eternity, might not be forgotten when we remember the cost at which freedom is born. So we thank you for the soldiers, the troops, the support people who brought to us the freedom we enjoy today in our land. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that has purchased for us a place in eternity with you forever for those who receive him as their Savior. And we pray we might not spurn this gift and this grace. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.